Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Here we are again. All three of us, Kyle also, but we kind of keep him on the silent
three,
end.
Three and a half.
That's not true.
Hey, you know what? We need to thank Kyle.
Thank you, Kyle.
Kyle serves us so well.
He does.
We couldn't do any of this without him.
He does. He runs the board. He keeps all the levels correct. He makes sure we get here and we leave when we should. He makes sure we get the right food when we need the right food.
He takes care of us.
He takes care of us. And when you're talking Dan and me, those are two old men.
That's just too much.
It's too much.
And let me say this in all seriousness, Kyle. And you are a great pastor.
You are.
And you love your family. You're a man of integrity. I love you, brother. You're gold.
Yep.
This is Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton.
Yes.
And we are deeply grateful to the North American Mission Board for making this possible for us. And we would like to remind you to subscribe if you have not subscribed. We've forgotten to say that the last couple of times. But if the format that you use to listen to our podcast allows you to subscribe, please do. That helps us to market the program and let other people know about it. Today, we're talking about something really, really important. And, you know, it's one of those things that you kind of listen to and you go, I don't know if I really want to listen to it. Do it. Listen to this. Because what we're talking about, a revitalized church requires a revitalized pastor.
Mm.
Now, some of you are just going to go, I already know the answer to this. No, you don't. No, you don't. You know some of the answers.
You don't know where this one's going.
So, Mark, let's just talk about it. We have Mark Halleck over here and Mark Clifton here. I'm Dan Hurst, and let's just get into this.
Well, let me just say this comes directly from my friend Jim Eliff.
Kansas City boy.
His brother Tom was the president of IMB. His brother Bill's a pastor in Oklahoma. They were all raised in Kansas City. Jim lives in Kansas City. And Jim has an organization called Christian Communicators Worldwide. You can look it up on the internet. There have been times in my life when I needed to talk to somebody. Jim was there. He's been there for me whenever I needed him. And I go to his website all the time. I use his things a lot. This came right off of his website. And I'm telling you what, once we go through this, I encourage you to go to his website, find this little document, this little article he wrote, and then pin it up on your bathroom mirror, Pastor, and look at it every single day. I'm going to tell you what, I was getting prepared for this show, and I began to work on this, and I saw this that he provided, and I got deeply convicted. I mean, deeply convicted in my own life. You're not going to lead a revitalization unless you are revitalized. You're not going to lead a church renewal unless you are renewed. Do you remember when Jesus shows up in the island of Patmos and he's going to give message to the churches? The first thing that happens is he reveals himself to John in a glorified way that John has never seen before. And we've talked about it before. John has seen Jesus walk on the water, heal the sick, raise the dead. On the Mount of Transfiguration, as resurrection, ascend into heaven. But John had never seen Jesus the way he saw him that day on the island of Patmos, and he fell at his feet, though dead. When Jesus was about to give messages to the churches, it began with John getting a new vision of Christ. Mm. Pastor, you cannot live on the encounter you had with Christ a year ago, mm-hmm. 6 months ago. It has to be every day because there's something new and powerful he has for you every day. So here we go. Number one, Mark, you take the first one.
Yep.
What's the first thing you have to do if you're going to be a revitalized pastor?
Repent of every known sin.
Hmm.
Repent of every known sin. That's a posture of absolute humility before the Lord, of being vulnerable before the Lord, being honest before the Lord. To live a life of repentance. Now, I would say this, a life of repentance should be actually a life of freedom and joy.
Well, repentance is like a fountain you run to.
Yes, yes.
It's not something to avoid.
That's right. That's right. And so, you know, my fear is, you know, and you may be listening to this, and there's some closets, man. There's some areas of sin that nobody else knows about but mm-hmm. you and the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like kryptonite, man. It's killing you.
Yep.
And in absolute love, we would say, you have to bring those before the Lord, repent of those sins that you might be forgiven and free from those things.
That's,
you
know, and here's, that's the issue right there is the release of it.
It's the release of it. And here's the good news that we need to always remember. This is the gospel in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's the promise of the gospel. But as long as you keep it in the closet, you will not experience that.
And let me just talk about some things that might be in the closet. Obviously, given the fact that pornography is so accessible on your iPhone and other devices, and the struggle that that has on so many lives, that's one.
Yep.
But you know, there are others. You have some jealousy of a pastor in your community.
Yes.
You have some bitterness at that deacon that's hard to get along with.
Yeah.
I mean, you've treated your wife pretty harshly today. Those are things you've got to confess. Yeah. I mean, you don't get a pass on those.
I don't get a pass on those.
Let me put it personal. I don't get a pass on those.
Yep.
So, you know, obviously there are some sins we look at and go, man, that I really got to repent of that. But, you know, how about the pride you feel?
Yeah.
How about the jealousy of another pastor?
Laziness. We've
talked about laziness? That. Yeah. How about just hanging out and wasting time when you should have been in prayer and Bible study?
Amen. That's right.
You know, I mean,
no, but the opposite of that also is how about the when you beat yourself up over everything?
Well, that's true,
you know?
Too. That's true. You got to repent of that.
Yep. And you have to repent of failure, but you don't have to wallow in it.
No, I agree. Yeah, but
right.
I like what Jim says here. This is so good. Repent of every sin and then be resolved. Wow. I will not go to bed this evening nor live this day without fully repenting of every known sin against God. Man, that's powerful.
That's powerful.
Do that every single day.
Powerful.
It is. Number two, I will forsake all questionable habits and activities.
Mm.
All right. Look, I know I'm getting older, and when you get older, you get, I don't know, I don't want to get curmudgeon-y, but I've really, stuff I used to watch on TV, I look at it now and I go, I don't think I want to watch that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm talking about I'm not talking about R-rated stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's just be, look, I don't want to get too deep in the woods here. And you know, if you'd have talked to me 20 years ago or 10 years ago, I would have said, oh, Clifton, lighten up. So I don't know. But, you know, sometimes some of the funniest shows on television. You asked me the other night, you know, what's your favorite show on TV? And I almost told you, you know, hey, I like The Office. Hey, I like Seinfeld. But when you think about it, almost every episode of Office or every episode of Seinfeld, there was sexual immorality that took
that's
place.
That's true.
And as Christians, we watch and go, oh, yeah, I don't believe that. But that show sure is funny.
Hmm.
And then we end up with a culture that we have. We go, wow, how did we get this? Well, because we didn't, you know, I just think, I put it to you this way. Things that make you want to love Jesus more and want to be more holy, do those.
Yeah.
Things
right.
that make you want to be less holy, stay away from those.
That's right.
You know, Halleck, we're here today. We're in New Orleans. By the way, thanks to New Orleans Seminary for making this space available to us at WBSM Radio has provided the facilities, and we're grateful for that. But last night we went out to eat. Great restaurant. Some of the best food there, wasn't it?
Oh, man.
But, you know, in going around downtown New Orleans, we were talking about that just this morning, and you were talking about the people that we saw, the faces that we saw on the streets, you know, the emptiness, the all of that. And it was just this realization, and you made a statement which really struck me, that if you lived here, if you lived in this area, it's here.
Yeah.
And for you to come down to some place like this and hang out at a place like this, it's not questionable, and it's nobody criticizes you for it because it's here. And so we have to be very careful, I think, as pastors, so that even things that other people would not question or criticize, we know before God if
that's
it's
right.
questionable.
That's right. That's right.
Well, Romans 14:23, for whatever is not from faith is sin. That's a pretty... I mean, let's be honest, even among strong Bible-believing evangelicals, man, we give a pass to a lot of stuff in the culture and that we enjoy that doesn't edify us.
Well, listen, I think what we're getting at here is the pursuit of holiness. Jerry Bridges wrote a book years ago called The Pursuit of Holiness, and I think if we're honest, we've lost that in some ways. I also think this, the antidote to this, I fully believe biblically, is not just, you know, gritting your teeth and I'm going to not have questionable habits and activities anymore. I'm just not going to do it. what you've got, I find, is a greater joy, man. Yeah. And that's the joy of Christ and the joy in pursuing your joy in the Lord. You know, these things begin to look as empty as they actually are.
Right.
And so it's, why would I waste my time there when I can be fully satisfied in Christ and his word and his truth and his people? And so I think, again, what we pray for is, Lord, give me a stronger desire and appetite for you above the things of this world.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not fun if it's not fulfilling.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's just the bottom line for a Christian.
But forsake all questionable habits and all questionable activities. And I know that maybe for some of you strikes as legalism, but when we realize the danger of sin, you know, I got in trouble at the North American Mission Board because I opened a file on my email. They actually send out files to try to trick you. And I'm so proud of myself. I've never, in all these years, I'd never opened one. But like an idiot, I did. You know, they send out this thing. And so I opened it, you know, and then I immediately get this, hey, you know, you opened a file. Now you got to go to, you got to go to this class. You got to rethink and retrain and all that. And the reason is because they know how damaging a virus can be to the computer systems and to the information systems. So they put all kinds of protections on that. You know how damaging sin can be in your life and to your family? So, I mean, we do have to put protections on that. And anything that's questionable, I mean, you can't flirt around with it, right?
John Owen said, be killing sin or sin will be killing you.
There you go.
I mean, there's violence in this, man. Mortifying the flesh is how the Puritans would talk about
right.
it. And that sounds weighty and serious because it is. And yet we don't do that in our own strength. We do that in the strength of the Spirit.
That's right.
Who empowers us to live godly and holy lives.
So be resolved, I will not go to bed this evening or live this day without removing from my life every habit or activity that I cannot be absolutely assured is approved by God. Number three.
I don't like this one.
Make right any wrongs between yourself and others.
That's for other people, right?
I think so.
I don't think that applies to you.
Hey, Mark, what does Matthew 5:23 say about that?
Yeah, so let's listen to this. If therefore you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled. This is the heart of this. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering.
I'm telling you what, if you have unreconciled things in your life and you're trying to be a revitalizing pastor, it's not going to work. If you're mad at the last church that treated you badly and you still carry all kinds of anger and angst to them, it's not going to work.
That's right.
If you're angry at somebody that did something to you at some point, it's not going to. I'm telling you, this is the scripture, guys. You want to be revitalizing. You want to have joy in your life. You want to be used of God. We're also self-centered all the time. And this gets to self-centeredness. I was treated wrong. I was hurt. I was wounded. They did this to me. Man, you got to reconcile with that brother or that sister before you can do anything else.
I often think in, you know, as pastors, you know, and I know it's hard. It's hard. I mean, preaching to people who look at you with eyes that they don't like you.
Right,
that's
right.
Hard. Yeah. You know what I mean? I think Croft wrote a book.
Or they don't like your family.
Right. That's
don't
even
like,
harder.
Don't like the way your wife handles the kids. And
that's
don't,
right.
She doesn't come early enough. She doesn't stay long enough. Yep. She doesn't work in the kitchen at the church.
Yep. They talk about
they
it behind
talk
their back.
Exactly.
I mean, it's really hard. But this is where, for me, I always have to come back to Paul's words when he says, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with everyone. Now, they may not want to be at peace with you, but in your heart and your posture toward them, by God's grace, you need to be at peace with them. You know, it's the whole, and you know what you do? You kill people with kindness.
Mm-hmm.
You just do. What do? You don't turn away. We've talked about this before. What do you do with those critics on Sundays? Man, I don't want to have anything to do with them. You know what you do?
You love them.
You love them. You hug them. You show them the love of Jesus. You show them that your joy in the Lord is so much better and bigger than their bitterness toward you. It doesn't even faze you, even though, you know, and that's the power of love.
If you're just joining us here, and that's not possible on a podcast, is it? You can't just join us in the middle, right?
Sure you can.
Can you?
Yeah,
okay, well,
yeah.
If you're just joining, I'm used to radio where people could just tune in, you know.
You have to listen. You know,
that's right. Anyway, if you're just joining us here, we're talking about a revitalized church requires a revitalized pastor. And if you're going to be a revitalized pastor, number one, you've got to repent of every known sin every day. Number two, Forsake all questionable habits and activities, and don't do anything unless you can be absolutely assured it's approved by God. Number three, make right any wrongs between you and yourself and others.
Can I ask you guys to exposit on this a little bit? Because this verse that we quoted, Matthew 5, 23 and 24, says, if you remember that your brother has something against you.
That's true.
You know, it's not talking about if you have something against your brother, but you've offended somebody else.
Wow, that's good.
You know, whether you intended to or not.
That's right. Good word.
And, you know, as a revitalizing pastor, you're going to offend somebody.
That's right. And the worst thing you can do is get prideful and try and defend yourself, become defensive, try to justify yourself. Man, be quick. You know, Spurgeon used to say this. He would get ready. He'd be going into a meeting. You know those meetings where somebody, it's the pastor, we need to talk meeting.
Right.
And you just got a knot in your belly all week. And then you finally get to the coffee shop. And Spurgeon would say how he'd be walking into those meetings and he would remind himself, like, listen, whatever this person has against me, whatever they say, I'm far worse than they even realize.
Oh, man.
And and for him, that reality helped him to not be defensive.
Oh, that's great.
But in many ways, to agree with them. If you want to calm your enemies, again, I'm not saying falsely agree, but I'm saying the reality is everything we do, we could do better.
Oh,
if you go into the posture of agreement, it diffuses them so they don't know what to do because they want to fight.
Right.
To say, you know what, brother, you are so right, and I apologize, and would you pray for me?
Wow.
Because I know I could communicate more lovingly. I know I could do everything better in my life, and I need your help with that. Boy, that's a game changer in terms of dealing with critics.
Amen. And not only to say that to them, but to say, I want to be right with God.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I need to be right with you. You know, that puts a lot of responsibility on them also.
Man, spend some time Matthew 5, 23, 24 today, guys, and take a look at that and man, make any rights wrong between yourself and others. Number four, commune with God in prayer and be personally instructed through His Word. Now, look, you know, we're all pastors. We know we need to do this, but I mean, there's no substitute for praying without ceasing, being in a constant, we talked about that at the last podcast, in a constant state of communication with the Lord. There's no substitute for spending time in His Word. And I resolved I'll not go to bed this evening nor live this day without spending quiet moments with God in prayer and sincerely meditating on His Word. We can't skip it. We do many times, or the Bible study we do is preparing for sermons, and the prayer we do is praying for other people. But man, you've got to spend some time daily. And you just resolve, I'm not going to go to bed till I do that. I may be tired, I may not have done it all day, but I'm going to discipline myself to do that. Go ahead.
Dan, one of the things that just as we've gotten to know each other, that I love about you, and this is something that I think the Lord probably did in both of us when we were new believers, is the importance of a quiet time.
Oh, my goodness.
Talk about why that time with the Lord is so important in your life.
Because it's the difference between having a habit and having a passion, you know? It's the difference between, okay, I've got to pray because I've got to pray. You know, I've filled out my little Sunday school envelope, you know, my entire life. Check, you know, I tithe, check, I went to church, you know, check all of this. But it was habit.
Yeah.
You know, when it became a passion, it changed my life.
Mm.
And so that quiet time focuses me on my passion.
Yes.
You know, and if I go into a quiet time without a passion, then it starts with, God, where is my passion?
Yeah.
You know. And He can refocus me, you know, on that. And in refocusing me, He motivates me. I mean, Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart.
That's right.
He will put His desires in your heart.
Uh-huh.
It's the greatest motivation verse in the Bible.
That's right.
So if I want to know what God wants me to do, I need to be delighting in Him.
Yes.
That's all.
That's right.
That's all.
So
that's where
good.
It starts.
I love that. I love that.
All right. Now we're going to go to number five, which is really, really the heart of what we're talking about. Number one, repent of every sin. Number two, forsake questionable habits. Number three, make right any wrongs between you and others. Number four, commune with God in prayer daily and through His Word, all leading to number five.
Wow.
Okay, here it is. You ready?
Go for it.
Trust God to use you as His specifically designed tool for revival in others.
Oh, man.
That's so good.
Wow, what a weight.
James 5.
James 5. Let me read this. James 5, 19 to 20. My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins.
And resolved, I will not go to bed this evening nor live this day without asking and expecting God to use me as an effective instrument of revival in someone's life.
Wow.
Read some of these things that this is Jim Eliff. Read some of these points that Jim brought up for this text.
Dan, you and your beautiful voice. You got to read these.
Well, I think it's important for us to understand that this is a daily thing.
Yeah. Yes.
This isn't just like whenever I feel convicted to do it.
Yeah. But y'all, just take a minute. Whatever you're doing, if you're driving, keep driving. But anything else, just take a minute and listen carefully as Dan reads these six things that we should seek to do as we trust God to make us a tool for revival in others.
Well, first of all, review daily your resolution until your thinking conforms to holiness and your life is revived and useful. In other words, don't fail to apply these on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. If you weaken in your desire and intensity for holiness, don't give up. And don't return to a half-hearted, selfish life. Remember what you're called to. That's how you're defined, not by your circumstances. Ask God to bring some like-hearted friends with whom you may share your struggles and discoveries and victories. I'm always amazed at how often the Lord in His Word talks about the fellowship of believers and how critically important that is. You know, Jesus spent a lot of time by Himself, but He spent a lot of time with other people too, because He needed that. Then seek to encourage others outside your groups to submit to God and to obey these same biblical disciplines. You're setting an example, but that example sometimes has to be expressed. And then expect God to use you now and to make you even more effective in the future. You're in this process. Today is something that God wants to do today in your life. And the future, well, God's up to that. And then finally, at all times, avoid religious pride.
Oh, man, isn't that true?
Man.
So Jim Eliff, Christian Communicators Worldwide, man. This is great stuff.
Pure gold.
Pure gold.
Pure gold.
You cannot have a revitalized church without a revitalized pastor, and you can't be a revitalized pastor until you repent of sin, forsake questionable habits, make right any wrongs, commune with God, and then trust God to use you as His specially designed tool to bring revival in others. Hey, thanks for listening to us. Thank you, Kyle, for all the work you do. Thank you, Mark. Thank you for listening. Please, again, as we've said many times, subscribe, let your friends know, share this with other people, link it to somebody, send it to somebody. And Dan, take us home.
Well, it's time to go home.
Okay, bye.
Oh, goodbye. I had more to say, but that's okay.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.